This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Hey, you know it's Taz and Moose.
You know it's Taz and Moose. Hey. All right, we're rock and rolling here. A couple more hours ago, we'll be here to 9 a.m. Eastern. Taz and the Moose. AB sitting in for a vacationing Taz. So we did a lot of talking to... First hour, NBA, obviously, all the scuttlebutt about DeRozan heading to the Spurs and Kawhi heading to up to Toronto. Some, obviously, some Machado convo. We're going to get into some more Major League Baseball convo here. We're coming to you live from the Quicken Loans studio. National Mortgage Lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. If you want to call the show, it's a very simple process.
Attention, hotline fans.
855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Maybe you're listening on one of our great affiliates across the United States on CBS Sports Radio. Thank you very much for doing that. Or you're checking us out on Sirius XM Channel 206. Sirius XM on the app Channel 206 also. That is the home for CBS Sports Radio. It's 206 if you're a Sirius XM subscriber. So I've got a couple of guests coming up in a little while here. Leo Routens, Raptors TV analyst, coming up at 7:40 a.m. Eastern. 8:25 a.m. Drew Gooden, 14-year NBA veteran with the Big Three. So, AB, we're fixing to get into a little conversation about...
My sneakers, the picture's up.
Yeah, the picture's actually on social media, at Taz and the Moose. Is it on the Twitter or the Instagram? Where is it? Do we know?
It's on the Twitter.
Okay, at Taz and the Moose. That's the Twitter. Verified Twitter, by the way. Dang. Mm-hmm. So Mike Trout, right? So the MLB commissioner, Rob Manfred, he made some comments about, you know, what I feel, and I think a lot of people would agree, is the best player in baseball in the Angels, Mike Trout. Basically, Manfred told a gathering of baseball writers, Baseball Writers Associated of America, that Trout's lack of widespread popularity among casual sports fans was due in part to his hesitation to participate in activities that might promote Trout, meaning himself, about Trout himself. And this is what Manfred said in the quote. Mike has made decisions on what he wants to do and doesn't want to do, how he wants to spend his free time or not spend his free time, unquote. That's what Manfred said hours before the this past week's All-Star game. So, dude, really? Like, really, Mr. Rob? I mean, really, bro? Like, are you serious? Like, this guy, Mike Trout, he's not good for baseball. He's great for baseball. And you, as the head honcho, the head cheese of Major League Baseball, you and your organization should be promoting him better. I understand about guys promoting their own brand. Trust me, I live that narrative, I promise you. But, dude, you can't really ask more of Mr. Trout than he's giving you. He's a seven-time All-Star, and that's, as we were saying during the break, and that's 7 out of 7, correct?
Yeah, okay. 7 for 7.
He's a 300 hitter. He's the most dangerous guy you're going to probably face at the plate. I mean, he is a beast mode city here, this guy. He's a great, great player. There's not a baseball fan alive that wouldn't want this guy on their team. Now, I understand Manfred's not talking about his ability, Trout's ability, or, you know, meaning his the way he plays the game and all. He's talking about off the field. I get it. He's talking about branding. I get that too. But you, as the MLB, you, Rob Manfred, you need to do a better job promoting him. And if you want him to be the hood ornament of the MLB, then make him the hood ornament. Don't put it on this kid.
All right, well, I guess I'm going to defend the commissioner very, very, very indirectly. I'll play devil's advocate. My assumption is, now, what Rob Manfred said is true as a simple factual statement. Mike Trout has decided what he has done and what he hasn't done in terms of marketing himself off the field. It shouldn't be a critique, though. He's allowed to do whatever he wants. If he wants to sell me everything or nothing, or if he wants to take 2 of the 10 offers that come his way, That's all up to him. I would never tell him what to do.
Him meaning Trout.
Trout.
Please, your pronoun
and
all over the place.
But it is a statement that Mike has chosen not to do things. Again, that just is what it is. It shouldn't be a negative. It should not be used to attack him, which the commissioner did on Tuesday. But I assume, and I could be wrong, that the commissioner says this with knowledge of the ways that they have tried to promote Mike Trout, and for whatever reason, it didn't happen, whether Mike didn't think it was a good idea or his people didn't or whatever. So, like, that, it's not coming from nowhere. Like, there's something, there's got to be certain things the commissioner knows that Mike Trout has said no to that might have angered the commissioner and wished that Mike would have done to help baseball. All of that being said, this is not a fight that Rob Manfred should ever pick in public. If he wants to say to Mike, listen, we need this one to happen.
Can you
please do this one for us?
Right.
Fine. But to stand there and at the All-Star game and take a shot, and now we're talking about Mike Trout because the commissioner says something stupid about him.
A guy who doesn't get in trouble. There's never an issue.
Never an issue.
Forget about how great of a player
he is. Basically perfect.
Angel Jones. He literally is an angel.
Right.
He plays for the Angels. He's an angel. Mike Trout's got a halo over his head.
Great product placement.
He's named after a fish, and he causes no bite in the ocean. Oh, boy. So that wasn't that one. That analogy wasn't that good. But I get your drift about what he's what Manfred's hoping for. Look, you don't do that, especially the timing of doing it in front of all these baseball writers, all these people, right before the All-Star game. That's horrendous, especially for a guy like Trout. Now, the Angels, to their credit, they put out a statement on Twitter and basically saying, on behalf of the Angels organization and baseball fans everywhere, congratulations to Mike Trout on another outstanding All-Star game performance. Mike Trout is an exceptional ambassador for the game. Combined with his talent, his solid career, our character, I should say, creates a perfect role model for young people everywhere. Yada, yada, yada. You get it. So they put him over, and they should. The Angels tweeted that. And then Mike Trout himself took to the Twitter machine and basically said, I have received a lot of questions about Commissioner Manfred's recent statements. I am not a petty guy. I would really encourage everyone to just move forward. Everything is cool between the commissioner and myself. End of story. I am ready to just play some baseball. See, that's the thing.
Exclamation point.
What a quotation mark.
Yeah, Pete's big on those, too. Our boy Bilotti loves on the Facebook post to throw the exclamation point.
It explains a lot. You know, you have to, when you put stuff on social media, you have to have emojis and you have to have different punctuation because it's things get lost in translation via text.
True.
Digressing. So here's the thing with Mike Trout, okay? He is just that. He's a baseball player. That's what he wants to do. That's all he wants to do. He don't give a rat's tail about, you know, going to the bougie club, pounding down drinks and hanging out with pretty women. Like, he don't care. That's not this guy.
He's already married. He likes the weather.
I didn't realize he was married, so
Eagles,
I apologize for that.
Maybe his only blemish.
Yes, though, but what? He's an Eagles fan. That's a Philadelphia Eagles fan. Yeah, I got
he's
it.
A South Jersey guy.
Yeah, he's
they
a South
connect
Jersey
to Philadelphia,
guy. Yes.
So I mean, it's in the blood.
That's true. Yeah, no, I get that. He's over there in that Toms River area by Atlantic City, New Jersey, where some gambling's done. But Mike Trout is a baseball player. He's not going to go out and get in trouble. He's not going out to the club, and his wife's not going to put out statements and get him heat. Like, that's not Mike Trout. This guy just wants to play the game. He don't want to be bothered with this other, you know, rubbish.
Right. And like, and what's now for context's sake, there was a Forbes magazine. Somebody had a story at the beginning of this week that Mike Trout's Q rating is equal to Kenneth Faried, who was just traded from the Denver Nuggets to the Brooklyn Nets, basically in a salary dump. So just to show you not where the commissioner is coming from, but the problem that baseball is presented with is that their best player, and not only that, just their best player, relatively speaking, right now. I mean, he is an all-timer. He's a generational player. He's having one of the best seasons ever right now. But I mean, he deserves anything and everything. Yet he's known only as well as Kenneth Faried,
that's
who
crazy,
I assumed
that is,
wasn't
that's just
known
rating.
As
it's
all
wow.
Right.
Wow.
So, but the problem is, baseball is not like any other sport. You know, you all of the normal arguments and all the normal reasons why players
it's very
and basketball players,
as we discussed,
but not even regionalized. It's just you can't, like, you can go an entire game and basically Mike Trout does nothing. And it's not because he's, you know, just it is what it is. He's at four at-bats. Maybe a ball's not hit to him.
Right, of course.
He can't make behind-the-back catches or hit blindfolded.
Right.
It's, you know, basketball, you feature LeBron James
or Kenneth Faried. Well, you control the ball. The ball goes through you.
He's always there.
Right. It's not like a quarterback or a running back or a linebacker who can go and make a player or a cornerback and a corner or a safety and make a great interception and be aggressive. You know what I mean? Like, it's different to your point with baseball where the game has to come to you.
Right.
You can't press. Right,
where in basketball, it may not come to you.
Right. It may not come to you on a certain game or maybe a couple of games or maybe you're in that dreaded slump, which we've seen for decades and decades ball players go through. So, but Mike Trout, his numbers are, you know, tremendous. I mean, he's batted 300 just about the bulk of his career, over 300. Right now, he's sitting at about 310. Is it? Yeah, 310 is batting average. I mean, so we're coming after the All-Star break here, second end of the season now. You know he's just going to be cooking them with all cylinders. He's just, you know, I don't think that if you're Manfred, yeah, this is a guy you want to embrace this guy. You want, if you promote him, you brand him, you promote him better. You know, you do it. You know, meaning the league, you do it. You know, this guy's got enough on his plate. This guy's played a lot of games. He's away from his family. You know, he's just, you know, it's a tough life these guys live. And to your point, AB, they're not getting the some of these guys are not making that money. You said the Q rating, it's like almost nil for this guy.
Yeah, and it's like, and another reason why baseball is not anything else is the utter lack of free time. I mean, you've got 180 days in a season, 162 games, basically. I think actually there's a little more, a couple extra off days now this year. But the point remains that, you know, an NBA player plays Tuesday, Friday, Saturday in a week. He's got those four other days to do whatever he wants. Go yeah. film a commercial, do this, do that. I mean, Mike Trout's got lunchtime free. Monday through Sunday. And, you know, so like he's changing cities constantly. He's out of town sometimes for 10 days in a row. It's just, it's not that easy to go film a commercial for Hertz or Walmart or Subway
right.
or whatever it may be. So part of it is not that you can't work on it and can't figure out ways to be creative and get this done, but I don't know that any baseball player is ever going to match up with the biggest names in basketball and football just by the nature of the sport.
Well, yeah, no, I don't disagree. By the way, just see also, speaking of Manfred and the MLB, they might expand to 32 teams in the next decade. I'm with you.
Which is how I think the DH gets in too, by the way.
No doubt, dude. At creating eight divisions, four teams. You heard some of the candidates, Montreal, Vancouver,
mm-hmm.
Mexico City, Charlotte, Nashville, Austin. I'll tell you, I got to say, some of those cities in the South, I think would be just money. Smashville.
Yeah, give me Nashville.
Oh, man, look at that. Let's just look at what the Titans are love down there, no matter what their record is. I know a lot of folks in Tennessee. I used to work for a wrestling company based in Nashville called TNA, and I worked there for 7 years. And I could tell you the Predators,
mm-hmm.
okay, and the freaking Titans are loved. And if they brought a pro baseball team there, and Charlotte also, I can't speak on Mexico City or Vancouver, but Austin could be legit too. It's a great part of a great state of Texas. That could be awesome too. But I'll tell you what, man, it would be very interesting. I mean, it would be very interesting. I'd like to see this. I really would. And I'm reading. So what it would look like, right, is the American League. So Mexico City would be an expansion team. Just see this in the South. So it'd be the Rangers, the Astros, the Royals, and potentially Mexico City. And which, man, I tell you.
Yeah, there's a lot of ideas. Ken Rosenthal, I believe, at The Athletic wrote about this before the All-Star break. There's a lot of different variations when we get to an even number to how you're going to break down these eight four-team divisions. Do you do it simply by geography? Do you put, you know, can the Mets and Yankees or the Cubs and White Sox end up in the same division? How do you keep rivals together or not keep them together? It could be very, very, very different, or it could be almost what we have right now.
I don't think you want to change it too much. That's why I'm saying I don't think.
I don't think so either.
Yeah, I don't think that you want to change it too much. No, really. And I don't know. I mean, well, if you're listening out there, what team, what town would you want to see? What city, what community would you want to see have a Major League Baseball team? Would it be Nashville? Would it be Charlotte? Would it be Austin, Mexico City, Vancouver, Montreal? 855-212-4227. Give a call if you want to jump in on that conversation about Major League Baseball expanding to 32 teams within the next decade, potentially. So, and I think you're right about that. Definitely could pole vault the National League to then pull in that DH thing. I think you might be right about that. Good point.
Yeah, do all in one fell swoop. Move teams around, bring a team in, new divisions, and you put everybody on level footing with the DH. Still, you know, I would still like, just for the one little bit of tradition, to keep kind of the AL-NL split theory.
Yeah.
But, yeah, everybody should have the DH.
I like the split. I mean, I think AL-NL, I think that's what I'm saying. I wouldn't futz around too much with it, mess around too much with it. I wouldn't get too cute with it if I'm Major League Baseball over the next several years. I wouldn't. I mean, I like the expansion concept. For sure. I mean, what the hell? They don't play enough games, these guys. Now you add more teams. I mean, but there are a lot of cities that a spot I'd love to see, believe it or not, that's not listed on here as a candidate is somewhere in Oklahoma, like either Oklahoma City or Norman, Oklahoma, right by like University of Oklahoma. Boomer Sooner type gimmick, you know. I don't think
Norman, Oklahoma could host a baseball team. Right. 82 dates. You need. That's a lot of people you need.
Dude, you ever been to Norman, Oklahoma? Have you ever been to Norman, Oklahoma?
I have not been to Norman, Oklahoma. No.
I have. A lot.
I don't think baseball is the professional team that should go into Norman, Oklahoma.
Wow. Well, we're listening to Norman. We apologize for those statements.
You're a great college town, an all-timer, obviously.
Dude, have you ever seen the... It is a great college town, but I know Norman doesn't sound like it's the epicenter of the United States in the South. I get that. Okay, then fine. Let's say we go with your bougie attitude. Mm-hmm. Then fine. Then go. How about Oklahoma City? You got a problem with that?
I have less of a problem with it, for sure.
Well, the Thunder are doing pretty good.
The Thunder are.
Okay, so yeah. There's nothing wrong with Oklahoma.
Oklahoma's a great state, yeah. But so is Florida, and the Tampa Bay Rays can't survive. So, I mean, I don't...
There's too much going on in Tampa. That's the problem. There's too much going on down there.
So you're saying they got nothing else?
You know Ybor City?
I do, yes.
Ybor City. Oof. That's a great spot. Some of the best sushi I've ever had is in Tampa, in Ybor City. Yeah, it's a great spot for sure. All right, anyway, so that's the deal. So if you want to jump into conversation as far as MLB expansion, 855-212-4227, do you want to see it? Do you want to see the expansion? Is it good or bad for baseball? What city do you want to see? Give a call to the show. Taz the Moose, CBS Sports Radio. Be right back.
This is Jim Rome. $5,000 are on the line for the winner of this year's Smack Off. Hear it all, 12 Eastern, tomorrow on CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. Give Taz and the Moose a call, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227.
All right, well, tonight at 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific, tune in to CBS Sports Network and follow the stories of struggle and strength of some of the world's greatest athletes. It's the 2018 CrossFit Games. Road to the Fittest on the 24-hour home of CBS Sports. We have Brett Heller in the house with his latest sports update. What's going on, Brett?
Hey, guys. Well, the 5-for-1 baseball trade, the Dodgers landing all-star Manny Machado from the Orioles for 5 prospects, the biggest one being Cuban outfielder Yuzhnel Diaz. He had a couple homers in the all-star futures game on Sunday, but the Dodgers obviously looking to win now. Here's GM Farhan Zaidi on Dodger Talk, AM 570 in L.A.
For us, making a move like this, it's great. It energizes the fan base. It gets people around town talking about it. But, you know, in the end, it's meant as a means to an end. I mean, we're trying to win a World Series every year and this year in particular. And so, you know, we're excited about making the deal. But ultimately, this is about getting close to that bigger goal.
The Dodgers needing help at short after Corey Seager had season-ending Tommy John surgery. But Machado could also see time at third base. The Dodgers open the second half of the season on Friday in Milwaukee. Speaking of the Brewers, reliever Josh Hader will not be suspended for those offensive tweets that surfaced during the All-Star game, but he will be required to go through sensitivity training. Yoenis Cespedes has played first base for the first time as a pro and came in a rehab game for the Mets Rookie League affiliate in Florida. Cespedes has been out since mid-May with a hip injury but could be activated before the Mets take on the Yankees tomorrow. Spurs head coach Greg Popovich wants to move on from the Kawhi Leonard drama now that the trade with the Raptors is done, but Pop had nothing but positive things to say about the two-time defensive player of the year.
Kawhi conducted himself wonderfully while he was here. You know, he helped us win a fifth championship. As I said, he was a hard worker all the time. And we wish him well.
Now, Kawhi and Danny Green going to Toronto for DeMar DeRozan, Jakob Poeltl, and a protected first-round pick. Popovich did say he's looking forward to coaching Leonard again with Team USA. There's a minicamp next week in Vegas, and Leonard might be there. From the NFL, Darrelle Revis is retiring after 11 seasons. He played for four teams, most notably the Jets, but won a Super Bowl in New England, Revis Island, a seven-time Pro Bowl selection and four-time first-team All-Pro. In round one of the British Open at Carnoustie, Kevin Kisner is the lead, has the lead right now at 5-under. He's through 17. Defending champ Jordan Spieth is three shots back. Phil Mickelson, 2-over par through 17. He is tied for 63rd. Guys?
All right, Brad, we appreciate it. Good job, my friend.
Brad is so good.
Yeah, he is just so
really good,
smooth,
talented.
Smooth guy. Smooth, you know, smooth,
very formative.
Debonair and handsome gentleman.
That too, professional.
Must be great to go to dinner with a guy like Brad and have an intelligent conversation. I'll tell you who you don't want to go to dinner with, and of course it could be rough, and that is the offensive line for the Philadelphia Eagles. They basically do not play games. Now, it's well documented that NFL football players, namely linemen, offense or defensive linemen, they're large dinosaur type of humans.
Yes.
And, you know, you would assume they eat a lot and stuff. Well, the Philadelphia Eagles, they eat like beasts, like kings. They first off, they dine at places like Del Frisco's Steakhouse. Now, I don't know if you've ever been to Del Frisco's.
I have.
Oh, Nelly. This is Fancy Dan Jones. So I'm a little surprised that the Philadelphia Eagles, even though they make a lot of money, these guys, that they would eat at a place like a Del Frisco's. It's a great brand, Del Frisco's, by the way. It might be a franchise because I know there's one in Midtown Manhattan.
I mean, there's more than one.
Yes.
I don't know if it's a franchise in that you can like buy one and run it, but they have multiple locations.
There's 14 of them.
Yeah.
How about that? That just came to me. Thanks, Mike. So, yeah. So I've eaten at the one in Midtown Manhattan on many occasions. Celebratory type things. I'm celebrating things at all times. So, left tackle Jason Peters, left tackle Vaiti, left guard Steven Wisniewski.
Smart move.
And center Jason Kelce and right guard Brendan Brooks. And also right tackle Lance Johnson. These guys spare no expense. Spending a lot of money eating tuna tartare. Fried calamari, cheesesteak dumplings, three lobster mac and cheeses, three of them. Those are big, heavy. I've had lobster mac there. Two cream corns, three chateau mashed potatoes. What is that? Mikey B., you're a food connoisseur. What is chateau mashed potatoes?
I don't know, but it sounds good.
Sure as hell does. Asparagus. I just want to go the healthy route, if you notice.
Well, you know, and that actually, to me, was the most informative part of this story. Is it? And I'm assuming it's grammatically correct. I didn't know what the plural of asparagus was.
Asparaguses.
They went with asparaguses. Asparagus. Asparagi. They went asparaguses. Two asparaguses appetizers.
Yes, it's kind of odd.
So now I know.
Then they jump into the red meat. 22-ounce prime rib or 32-ounce tomahawk steak.
Mm.
You ever have a tomahawk?
I've seen one delivered to a different table in a restaurant.
You know, my son
at.
Gets you. Remember you go out to like a nice steakhouse. He's
Must
a big
be
tomahawk
nice.
Steak guy. What's that?
So you got a tomahawk.
Oh, it is. It's basically, they call it tomahawk because the bone on this thing, it looks like a boomerang.
Yeah.
You seem like you're a guy who goes to the beach and plays with your friends with a boomerang. You seem like that type of frisbee.
Huge boomerangers.
You could be more of a frisbee guy.
I am more of a frisbee guy.
Kind of have
yeah.
that look.
Oh my God, does he have that look?
He does have that look, right? I can see like a little poodle run around him. His little poodle, Frenchie, his name is.
I appreciate oozes you not frisbee. Going hacky sack here.
No. You ooze.
You definitely ooze boomerang frisbee.
And what are you doing at the beach, Mike? Catching and killing sharks by hand?
No,
is that
I play bocce ball.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure you do.
No, I do. Yeah.
Do you really? Okay, I'm actually pretty good at bocce ball. You know what I do at the beach to people? I kick sand at people's faces. I'm like
you
that
would.
Type guy.
Yep.
Yeah. Hey! Kid throws
Stop
sand
having
back
fun.
At yeah. No fun. But anyways. Yeah.
Jones.
So the Eagles, man, be careful. Be careful if you're going to go out with the Philadelphia Eagles and dine with them. These boys eat big. They I don't know what's worse. Eating near them where they could bite your arm. Or if you have to split the bill with them, because it sounds like it's pretty pretty expensive.
Yeah,
I think
it said like $2,000, which actually I was surprised that it wasn't more than that.
I agree
after
with
reading
you.
The list of things at Del Frisco's, which, you know, it's not Outback. So, I mean, there is some hefty price tags on those things.
Right.
I was expecting more than $2,000.
Nothing wrong with Outback. It's a great brand.
Great brand, but it's just different levels of food and menu prices.
Yeah.
I was thinking, you know, maybe double that.
Yeah,
but
I feel you on that. I see what you're saying. Hey, CBS Sports Radio toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is brought to you by Geico. Hey, everyone, here's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners and renters or motorcycle insurance, too? Well, get it all at geico.com. Hey, Marty, in Florida, you are on Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. We've got AB sitting in. What do you say, Marty?
Taz, Andrew, how you guys doing this morning?
Good. What's up,
What's
Marty?
What's up, big man?
Oh, not much. I don't believe that baseball needs to expand. Baseball's not doing a good enough job with the product they're putting on the field right now. 20 years ago, they were America's sport, you know, and then the NFL horned in.
Right.
The NBA is on a big move. And myself, personally, I'm a big NHL fan. I know there's not a lot of national stuff there, but I'm from the Tampa Bay area.
Mm.
So it's a big thing in this area. But, you know, back in the day, Ken Griffey was one of the biggest stars in baseball, and he lived on that other coast up in Seattle, and they went out of their way to make him a star. And I don't know if Trout just doesn't want that, or if Major League Baseball's not about that anymore, but they're not putting a good enough product on the field right now to draw fans. And if you expand that by two more teams and the obligatory farm systems, you're just going to put a watered-down product on the field.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. Marty, I get your drift. I do. I get your point. I don't know if you saw the All-Star game. I have to tell you, I think they did a good job during the All-Star game. They made it feel – it felt exciting. It felt fun to watch. Hey, I'm from the same narrative as you, Marty, where I have not really felt like Major League Baseball has done a great job at all promoting their players or promoting their sport or evolving like other sports evolve. But I got to tell you, the All-Star game maybe was a good start to do some cool stuff. And I disagree with you. I think expanding is a good thing. I mean, I it's tough to argue what you're saying because they haven't done a great job. And we appreciate the call, Marty. But I think that, you know, there might be a better chance to do a better job if you have more teams. And it does expand. And there's more awareness in the United States. Or maybe kids are playing Little League again. Because right now, I think that's the bigger issue, AB. It's like, I don't want to say kids aren't playing Little League, because they are. But there are more kids flowing towards sports like soccer and lacrosse as opposed to youth football and Little League. That's kind of that's the truth. So
yeah, I don't remember the last numbers in terms of like where you know who's playing what and where people are going instead of baseball. But I think Marty's right. I mean, I want expansion just you know for the ease of it, I guess. But the problem is because you know have 15 and 15 in each league doesn't like from a simple logistics standpoint to have 16 and 16 and have an even number and everybody's on equal footing. Like, I get the point of it for that reason, but there's a lot of bad baseball players right now and a lot of iffy pitching. And then, yeah, obviously with two more teams, that's only going to exacerbate that problem. But I'm willing to take that risk and the possibility of being annoyed by some crappy baseball to get into some new markets and to get things a little back on the easier footing in terms of a more balanced schedule and stuff like that.
If that's true, and there is a lot to your point, if it's true, and there's a lot of crappy baseball out there, in your words, I got to be honest, it's in my opinion, it's not because of the farm system. It's not because of Major League Baseball. It's because of the grassroots. That's where it starts. It starts in travel ball. It starts in middle school ball. By the time you get to high school, if you are a baseball player, you better have your you-know-what together. Otherwise, you're just not ready to go. That happens before high school.
Well,
that's
right.
The grassroots.
The idea of, you know, people that still are pro-bunting and get mad when baseball players can't bunt and like to yell at the major league coaching staff because their guys can't bunt, that is not the manager, the major league manager's fault.
No.
That
no,
a 25-year-old kid or
good
man
point.
At that point has
good
gotten
point.
To him and can't lay down a simple sacrifice bunt or doesn't know how to run bases. You're right. The fundamentals are all out of whack. And maybe, you know, that does alleviate some of the problems for sure.
Well,
but I still think there are guys who, you know, are in the major leagues just because a team needs to fill out a spot and not opposed to being truly ready to be in the major leagues.
Well, I just think it's different than years ago. It's not that these players aren't as good. It's just that some of the better pure athletes, if you're going to really get, this is a big stereotype statement, so bear with me. Some of the better athletes maybe have veered away from baseball and veered towards other sports. That's my point. So if you have kids that, I mean, I you know, that are legit athletes and now they're bored playing baseball. I've told a story about my own son. It happened to him when he was in the Little League. And he veered towards something called lacrosse, and, you know, and he's doing great with it. And I've seen a lot of his friends do the same thing, or some of his friends veer towards soccer, and they're doing great with it. I've seen this. You know, I've seen this a lot. So maybe some of the better athletes as kids are leaving or not getting involved with baseball. I mean, tell me the last time you saw. I mean, I remember growing up. I mean, I'd see kids all the time in the neighborhood. I'd be one of them where we both had our mitts on, our gloves on. We're having a catch right in the street.
Right.
Right. And I grew up in the city, inner city, and we were doing it. And I know kids that grew up in the suburbs. I had cousins in the suburbs. They were the same way, you know. And I'm sure kids that grew up in the sticks, you know, in the country, they were doing the same thing. Kids were throwing a baseball around or self-hitting balls. I remember just self-hitting balls to my friends. They're shagging fly balls at the park in the summertime. Dude, I live near two big parks. I don't see that ever.
No, on my I drive home through a really, really nice neighborhood in Long Island on my way to my nice neighborhood.
Yeah.
And there are yards with full-size soccer nets.
And lacrosse nets.
Yeah. Or these huge bounce back thing where you can
pitch back
your lacrosse stick. You know,
I
you
have one in my yard.
Right. your lower yard.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's a pitch back. Yeah. So, yeah, it's the thing is, like, okay, maybe, you know, being up in New York, living on Long Island, it's a hotbed for lacrosse and, you know, for soccer, but mostly lacrosse.
Right.
I get that part. But I'm telling you, man, you don't see it much where kids are playing baseball in the park. You just don't see it like it was back in the day. All right, so we're going to go to break here. We come back for break. We'll talk Kawhi with the Raptors TV analyst Leo Ruttons when we come back here. Taz and Amoose, CBS Sports Radio.
NBA free agency is here, and we've got you covered on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, we're back here. Time to have a nice chat with one of our special guests, Leo Ruttons, Raptors TV analyst. Leo, how you doing, man? Thanks for joining on Taz and the Moose. We got AB sitting here for Moose. What's going on, man? How you doing?
All great. Enjoying the summer. How about you guys?
Good, man. Having a great one, too. No doubt, man. It sounds good. Listen, so let me ask you right out of the box, bro. How do you make of how DeRozan's exit was handled by Toronto?
Well, you know, hey, Toronto Raptors had to make a move. I think at this point in time, they just felt they couldn't get done what they needed to get done with DeMar DeRozan, and an opportunity came by to get a top five player. And you know what? You got to go for it. And this was this is a game changing move for the Toronto Raptors as far as their future and trying to make an impact in the Eastern Conference in the playoffs, which has been their issue. So it was just one of those that they had to take.
Leo, the anger that some NBA players seem to have in that, you know, DeMar might have been told he wasn't going to get traded, and then he got traded, and then I guess, you know, the press release announcing the trade yesterday didn't thank him for his service to the Raptors.
He put out an IG message.
Right. I mean, is that angst a real thing? Like, does it last, or do you think that's just, you know, immediate kind of brushback here, and by the time it gets to next offseason and somebody is deciding to go to Toronto, that they're not going to hold it against the Raptors?
Well, you know, who's talking about the Boston Celtics? I mean, Isaiah Thomas played hurt. All of a sudden, he's gone.
Yeah.
You know, and nobody's saying don't go to Boston. So
You know, unfortunately, this stuff happens. I mean, management gets angry, players get angry. It works both ways. This was a situation. I have a hard time really believing that Masai Ujiri would say, "Hey, we're absolutely not moving you," especially if within 2-3 weeks of this happening. DeMar DeRozan has been involved in several rumors and pretty strong ones. And it hasn't been a secret that if you're going to, you know, if you want to get a great player, if you want to get a Kawhi Leonard, you're going to have to give up an all-star if you have one. And the Raptors have two all-stars. And the likely of those two to be traded, and everybody knew this, would be DeMar DeRozan based on the value of what you could get back.
We're talking to Leo Routens, Raptors TV analyst. So, Leo, let me ask you, so how do you think that the fans in Toronto will remember DeMar DeRozan as? You know, he seemed like he's loved.
Oh, he is. I mean, he did an unbelievable job for this franchise. You know, he committed to the franchise. I think he loved the city. The city loved him because of that commitment. You know, there's no question about it. But, you know, here's the funny thing about sports. And again, this is not to take anything away from DeMar, because I got to watch him day one, his character and his work ethic. He's just a tremendous young man.
Yeah.
But if you go back to the playoffs, and the Raptors got swept by Cleveland, you know, and a year before it was Cleveland. And if you, the same people right now that are in an uproar saying, "Hey, how can you do this? What's going on?" are the same people saying, "Hey, you got to get rid of DeMar. You have to get rid of Kyle. This is ridiculous. Get rid of those all-stars. You have to do better." So it's the same, you know, a lot of the fans are in an uproar of the same people saying, "Hey, you got to get rid of this guy." So unfortunately, that's sports. It's up, it's down. It's, you know, it's so emotional. But he's going to be remembered here. I think his legacy is going to be tremendous. And, you know, the winningest years of this franchise, he was a big factor in that.
Leo, meanwhile, a lot of people reading breakdowns of this trade see the Raptors getting a lot of kudos from around the NBA for keeping OG Anunoby in this, you know, not including him in this deal. For those who maybe are still new to him because he's new to the NBA, what's the ceiling for him in your mind?
Oh, the potential for OG Anunoby is tremendous. I mean, here's a guy that, you know, was not even supposed to be playing till mid-season last year, ends up starting for the beginning of the year, and really was an important part of the team at both ends of the floor for a 59-win team. So that's pretty impressive for a young man coming out with an ACL injury. So I think that was what surprised everybody. You know, when I got wind of the trade, I wasn't shocked about the trade. I was shocked at what the Raptors actually had to give up. I mean, Jakob Poeltl is a good young player, but, you know, he didn't have all-star written all over him. Obviously, you have to give up an all-star and then a protected first-round pick. So, in exchange for not only Kawhi Leonard, but a Danny Green. So I thought the Raptors did a great job, and I think, quite frankly, San Antonio probably priced out the market a little bit early. And then I think when the Raptors came in later on, they were able to pull this off.
So what do you think, Leo? What do you think it would take for the Raptors to kind of convince Kawhi to stay long term? You know, he's going to be there for a year. I think it's a great move. Also, I agree with you about what Toronto did. But what do you think? I mean, you think it's possible he stays longer? I mean, I guess it depends how much he enjoys it. I mean, they'd have to do some convincing because it seems like he wants to head west eventually, right?
Well, everybody said that about Paul George too. If you look at the last couple of years, it's L.A., it's L.A., it's L.A. And you know, and no disrespect to Oklahoma City, but you can't even compare a world-class city like Toronto to Oklahoma City. So players that come here love this city. It has a lot to offer. And I think ultimately it comes down to one thing. If, say, Kawhi Leonard comes, he's healthy, he's the Kawhi Leonard that we all know, who I think is a top three player in this league when he's healthy, and he takes Toronto not only to the Eastern Conference Finals, but the NBA Finals, then why wouldn't he consider staying here? And I think that's the best thing the Toronto Raptors can do. If they can win, these fans are going to embrace them. And these fans, anybody that watches any Raptor games on TV and realizes that, you know, how crazy the fans are.
Great fan base for sure. I agree.
Yeah, and this is what Kyle Lowry found out when he got here.
Right.
Not only do you have a city behind you, you got a whole country behind you. And it's the most unique situation in the NBA where you actually have an entire country. You're Canada's team.
Right.
Because you're the only NBA team. So,
Good point.
You know, I think it's a great opportunity for him. And here's the worst-case scenario. If he does get up and go after a year, what happens is DeMar's off the books, Leonard's off the books, and the Raptors have a lot of money going into what everybody's expecting to be a big free agency period, you know, a year from now.
Leo, where do they fit alongside the Celtics and the Sixers now in the East, in your mind?
Well, I thought the Raptors were right there. You know, really the Achilles heel for Toronto has been LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers. And quite frankly, even though the Raptors got swept and nobody else got swept last year, you know, Cleveland and LeBron were the Achilles heel for everybody in the Eastern Conference. So, but for Toronto, that was it. And they, you know, they finished first in the conference last year, 59 wins, and I fully expected them, even though the experts, now, I'm not just saying that from a Toronto bias, but last year, everybody said Raptors be fifth or sixth in the conference. As soon as, you know, the Raptors got swept this year, everybody's talking Boston, Philly, no one's talking the Raptors. I fully expected this team to be a top three team this year regardless. Now with Kawhi Leonard, they're going to be battling for first place in the conference. I have no doubt about it.
We're speaking to Leo Routens for Raptors TV analyst. Leo, so let's circle back real quick if you don't mind, dude. Kawhi, any fear from the players and or coaches that Kawhi hopefully is not, you know, a pain in the butt like we saw with the Spurs and everything that was going on there? Any concern there, you think, from the locker room?
Well, you know what? Masai Ujiri and Bobby Webster, you know, Raptors management, I don't think they would have made this move if they didn't know a lot more than we do.
Right.
And here's the thing about it that, you know, I've heard from so many people on this, but I still haven't heard from Kawhi. So
No one has. Nobody.
One has. Exactly. Exactly. So I would like to, like, what exactly happened? Because, I mean, San Antonio is a story franchise. This stuff just doesn't happen. So what exactly happened, and where exactly are you with your injury? Those two things, you know, I want to know. But up until this year, I mean, Kawhi Leonard was a model guy. He was a model citizen. So I don't know what happened. Maybe it just went south, and, you know, for a lot of reasons. Who knows? But I'm sure, you know, Raptors brass certainly did their due diligence before they decided to make this move.
Well, last one for us, Leo. New head coach there with the Raptors, Nick Nurse. What can you tell us about Coach Nurse?
I like Nick Nurse a lot. He's you know, he's a first-time NBA head coach, but he's not a first-time head coach. And he's won championships in the G League. He's coached overseas in Europe. He's got a great mind for the game. You know, a lot of people say, hey, what's the big difference? You know, if you got the guy was part of your offense last year, which was, you know, among the best offenses in the league and much improved over the year before. But, you know, Nick, according to Nick, if you talk to him, you know, he really only got to do about 10% of what he wanted to do. It was still Dwayne Casey's team. So here's a guy I think that's going to be very creative, very innovative. And defensively, he wants to do a lot more and be much more aggressive. And that's where a Kawhi Leonard and a Danny Green could really help him accomplish what he wants to. So I'm excited for him. I think he's going to have a nice year. And not an easy act to follow. He's, you know, the coach of the year.
Well, of course, Casey,
but
yeah.
But nevertheless,
absolutely.
I think fans will like him once they get to see him.
All right, Leo, listen, man, we appreciate it very much. Taking some time coming out here, give us some insight to the Raptors. Good stuff, my man. Thanks so much.
Much appreciated, guys. Have a great one.
Thanks, Leo.
We'll see Leo Routens right there, Raptors, Toronto Raptors TV analyst. He gave a lot of detail, gave a lot of insight, especially at that last question we hit him with there with Nick Nurse, the new head coach there. So, you know, it's good insight. And we'll see. And I thought, like I said earlier, dude, he's right, man. That city of Toronto, that's a beautiful spot, man. So we'll see if Kawhi likes it there.
Yeah, I'm sticking with my 0.0% possibility of him staying there. But he's right. I mean, Toronto's got its chance, but I don't see it. I can't imagine he's not on the open market looking for top dollar, even though the most money would be from them. But he's got too much dreams about L.A. and stuff like that. I don't see it.
Well,
stranger things have happened.
Let's see him put the jersey on first, right? So anyway, all right, we're going to break right now. Other side of break, we'll get you all caught up on the top headlines today. The three biggest headlines in sports. Coming up next here, Taz and Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.